Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of Build It Better. Today we're so excited because Jay is our guest.
Hey,
Yay!
hey yo. Hi, JC.
I gotta do
Hi,
these too.
everyone.
Ben, you gotta do the finger guns. Otherwise, you're
Beep,
not
beep, beep, pew,
cool.
pew. I think that's profiling because I'm in Texas.
It's because Jesse and Adam just did it and we were not like the cool people, so
Rootin'
you're a true Texan now. My name's Tracy. You can follow me on Twitter at Lady Leet. Excited to be here today with my awesome co-hosts. Y'all want to go introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Adam L. Barrett. You can find me at Big AB at TechHub.social.
I don't have the radio voice like Adam. I'm Jesse at J Tom Chuck at Moth.social.
I'm neither one of those guys.
You're
I'm
the dude
somebody
from
else
Texas,
entirely.
right?
Yeah, that's right. My name is Ben.
And we're here with our guest, Jay Phelps. Hi, Jay.
Hello.
Sorry, we're hot messes, but you're used to it by now.
Oh, me? Oh, I'm definitely used to
So tell us who you are, where you came
it.
from, where do you live, what's your address?
All right, social security number. Yep.
Uh-huh. I'm ready.
I'm Jay Phelps. I'm a software engineer at Netflix on the Shared Client Foundation team. So it's a team that does shared work for all the various clients, TV, web, iOS, Android. Yeah, and I'm actually in Austin, Texas. I lived here for a few years now and hang out with Mr. Ben Lesh all the time. I'm wishing
We
that
do
Tracy
this.
lived in the same city.
We do this all
Tracy,
the
you
time.
live in Atlanta.
And are you all like, are you more attractive to like, Texans because you have a Californian accent?
I
Those
don't
are
know. I
Texans
have a
behind him.
Californian accent. I was born and raised in Nebraska. If I'm going to have an accent that would be
See, it doesn't
Nebraska.
sound very Californian.
No? Do I sound
The
Californian?
Oh,
Great
yeah.
American
You do.
accent.
I
Tracy
do?
does. Yeah. Oh,
Really?
Tracy, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's Valley
I mean,
girl.
all it takes is like one, oh my God. And the funny thing, so I had to adjust to this when I moved to California, which was when you live in the Midwest and people use a California accent, you're like, oh my God, this person's faking a California accent because they've seen too much television or something. And then you like, so it's annoying. And then you move to California and you meet people that have actual California accents. And you have to like be like, oh, no, this is their native accent. It's okay. I'm adjusted.
I
That's
don't know
really
what you're all
funny.
talking about. You all sound the same to me.
A boot.
Yeah. The big thing I do, so I say BOTH. I pronounce that both, like there's an L in it.
How
That's
do you
probably the
say
weirdest thing about me.
the Mexican chain that's owned by McDonald's?
Chipotle? Is that the Mexican? I don't know the Mexican chain
Yeah,
owned by
I think that
McDonald's.
is,
It's
yeah. I
funny.
mean, they're
I
owned
know,
by
but y'all have to
McDonald's.
say it.
Chipotle.
There's no A, Chipotle.
That's how you
Chipotle.
say it, Jesse?
Yeah, Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Chipotle. That's all I've ever heard.
Jesse is wrong.
Chipotle. Chipotle A? That E is doing a lot of work in
Wait,
that word for me.
Chipotle?
No, it's just
Chipotle.
Chipotle and then A, because I'm
E.
Canadian. Chipotle.
Ew, Chipotle. Yeah.
Chipotle.
No, but
That's
Jesse, how do
good.
you really say it?
Chipotle.
Chipotle? So you're just messing with me.
Chipotle.
You say Chipotle? Do you really?
Yeah.
But why?
Chipotle, because that's just how Chipotle, because that's just I can't say it any other way because I can't roll my R's and I have no like distinctive accents, so it's just
I
those
don't know
letters
what kind
don't
of
go well.
judgment I have hat on I have today, but let's talk about architecture so I can judge that too.
Yeah.
How do you spell architecture, Jay? Now, tell us
It's
what
got
you
a
spell.
silent E at the end. I know that much. Can you use it
Architecture.
in a sentence?
Architecture
Architecture.
A.
Architecture A. So I'm
right, we're
sorry, Tracy, what did you
terrible.
ask?
I don't know. We're like 10 minutes in.
So from the client, so the client services, like, so do you work in like the DevOps foundation section of
No.
like what is client services?
No,
Like you
client foundations,
client
shared client
foundations,
foundations.
shared
Yeah,
client
so
SDKs? Like
yeah,
where are
I
you in the
mean
stack?
that would be in the purview. I mean, essentially we're a found there's individual foundation teams for each platform. Like TV has a foundation team, iOS has a foundation team, et cetera, et cetera. And then we sit on the side of that and we're a shared foundation team where we work on things that are basically cross-cutting. Like they apply to initiatives that apply to all clients. Like, for example, what I'm working on is something called the Discovery Experience Pave Path. which is a big word. You know, we call it DEP, like Johnny Depp. It's a major re-architecture of how Netflix APIs work with the discovery experience. And so there's both server stuff, there's schema design in GraphQL, there's client work with them. So there's kind of full stack work. And I'm part of like working groups internally that where we're debating and bike shedding and those sorts of things. So, it's one of the few, like historically Netflix didn't do a good job of collaborating cross-platform. Like they really kind of mostly were in silos. And so we're trying to fix that and be more collaborative, but you move slower we were very intentionally not sharing a lot of stuff, because when you share things, you got to agree on APIs, you got to agree on features and all this stuff. And so you move slower, but you get the negatives, and over time things start to drift in crazy ways. And so we're doing a really big push over the next few years, incrementally to, change all of that and have a lot of reuse and standardization of things and stuff like that. While we're also moving to GraphQL.
Which is why you're using GraphQL.
Yeah, GraphQL. So we, you know, historically, if anyone knows anything about Netflix, we had this technology called Falcor. We still have it, actually. It's most of the clients still use it. And it was basically developed at the same time as GraphQL was being developed, but we really didn't know that because GraphQL was a private thing at Facebook.
I worked on it. Really.
Falcor, that is. Yeah, you did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And which, so,
Falcor is a way better name than GraphQL.
Yeah. They're similar, there are big differences, but we don't have to get into them, but they're very similar in technology, but not standardized. And so we were the only company really using it. That means you have to maintain everything and build tooling around it. And that's a very expensive thing to do. Whereas GraphQL has kind of become an industry standard, and there's a foundation and lots of tooling and lots of companies pouring thousands, millions of dollars into it. So we did, several years ago, actually, Netflix decided to start to move to GraphQL, but that's a huge undertaking because there was, so much goes into that. So we're kind of doing that. And the reason why we decided to move to GraphQL is twofold. One, limitations of Falcor, fundamental limitations of it, and the fact that we have to maintain it completely ourselves, which is a big problem. Also, we wanted to move to a model where the clients, we have this concept of what we call BFFs, backends for front ends, which is basically just means that clients own part of the, like they own like a backend layer that then talks to more backend layers, like microservices.
Like and their own sort of aggregate point?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's essentially it. It's like so that they could make their own Falcor endpoints and their own stuff. But that turned out to be untenable. Like it just creates crazy. So we're trying to move away from that model, but again, it's going to take a really long time. And GraphQL allows us to basically hide a lot of implementation details in a nice and clean way. So, and we doubled down on federation, and that's where pieces of the schema can be requested from different microservices transparently. So like we don't have to, we have this, what we call the BFG, which doesn't actually stand for anything. It might stand for like the big friendly gateway or the big FN gateway or whatever you want
big
it to stand
friendly
for.
Friendly gateway.
The BFG is basically the thing that coordinates the federation to these individual services that these teams can independently deploy and manage. And then all the separate schemas basically get stitched together as one schema that the client queries. So the client is one endpoint, can query, and it doesn't really need to know about federation. There's some exceptions to that, but by and large doesn't really need to know about federation. And so far, we piloted this, I wouldn't say pilot, pioneered this at Netflix in the studio side. I didn't do that, but the Netflix did. And so on the studio side, we've been doing GraphQL for quite some time and federation for quite some time. And so now we're just trying to do it on the consumer side. I could talk about GraphQL forever because it's really the only game in town for what the purpose, this graph-based, querying. But
so you're saying it's like jQuery and it's like ready for innovation?
I would love if someone came out with something that improved on GraphQL, because one of the biggest, my biggest gripes with GraphQL is how slowly it moves. And I know why it moves slowly is because it's, you know, or I suspect I know, maybe I don't know, but from what I've gathered from folks, you know, they're very reluctant to change things because it has ripples in the community, right? But that I feel like they've taken to an extreme of a stance of that, and it takes really, really long years, many, many, many years to get even small changes to this, to GraphQL, like how GraphQL works, features.
If I had to take a stab, I'd say it's probably because there's big companies like Facebook and other folks that if you move too quickly, they have to update, you know, hundreds or thousands and thousands of build targets or whatever inside their monorepo. And then,
well, just to be clear, I'm not suggesting breaking changes. And so there would be changes that, I mean, it's just like adding new features to JavaScript, where like some platforms would support them, some wouldn't yet because they haven't been updated, et cetera, et cetera. Which, you know, I get that it's a pro and con. There's no right answer. There's just subjective opinions. And I'm going to obviously be biased because I'm a consumer of it rather than a person who maintains. Like, I don't maintain the GraphQL infrastructure. I just design schemas and have, you know, consumption of it. And so I'm going to have that bias of where it's very frustrating that GraphQL is a very limited language. It's like really, really limited. And there's a lot of conversations on a lot of work around and a lot of time spent debating things around that are rooted in limitations. Like, we're like, we want to do X, but we can't do it because the schema you physically cannot do it in GraphQL. And so what are we going to do instead of that? And then it creates this whole big, everyone has their own opinion on how you should do something, how you should do it. And so that's my biggest frustration with GraphQL. But by and large, I mean, again, I think for what it is and compared to alternatives, I think it's great. I think it's, GraphQL is really great. I do think it's a huge overkill for most companies. Like, if you don't have different devices, different device platforms who want to independently work, like independently get data from the backends without having their own APIs, like they don't want that BFF, they don't want their own node servers or anything. Like, if you need that basically before, in my mind, for you to justify the investment in GraphQL. Because if it's just you, like if you're the developer who works on the backend and the front end, and you have one web app or something or one mobile app, huge overkill to do GraphQL, like massive overkill. But that's just my take. I don't know. Does anyone have any contrarian takes to that?
I think there should be a limit of you can't have more servers than, or you can't have fewer servers than developers is probably a good limit. So if it's just you, just have one server, it's fine. Put it all on the same thing, whatever.
You can't have fewer servers.
Like, if there's only one person, if there's only one person maintaining it, then you probably don't need federated anything or, you know. It's just
one. Oh yeah, federated would be even another level it's like if you're a small, if you have less than 1,000 people in your company, you probably don't need federation. You probably don't even need 1,000 people.
But you're ready to scale.
Yeah. Right. Well, so
if you're doing it, I think developers should be okay with admitting, like, for example, I have done many things in my career where I knew I didn't need to do it, but I did it anyway because it was fun. Like, it's like, oh, this would be fun to use this. Like, and I think that engineering leaders need to be okay with their engineers doing that. Not all the time, and take calculated risks, because you don't want to like moving to federation would probably be too much. But if the developers are like, well, here's the amount of investment of time it would take to move to GraphQL, even though we might not need it. I don't know. I could, as a person who has been a manager before, I could be convinced that it's worth doing just to make developers happy that they're challenged and working with new cool technologies. Or maybe there's side benefits that aren't core to, like, they're not GraphQL fundamental benefits, but there are other benefits like insights or logging or debugging that you might get for free by using these tooling. Do you guys use GraphQL?
No, we're not using that yet. There's everything that I'm working on currently at it's a company called Trumid's Financial Tech is it's a lot of Node, and there's like some Scala backends, but it's like a lot of real-time streaming stuff. It's I mean, honestly, GraphQL is on my list of things to check out. How do I put this? The majority of the documentation and stuff, when you go out and look at it, is like, here's how to get some static data and just fetch it with GraphQL. And there's some light documentation around subscription or like streaming data, but like there's not really a like a broad set of like, oh, here's the best way to do this and here's the best way to do that. There's like some just like very cursory things that I've seen out there. So it's a little concerning.
Subscriptions get kicked out, or didn't subscriptions aren't part of the standard, right? They got bumped out of one of the libraries because they're not a standard. Is that, am I remembering this right?
Maybe it's only in Apollo. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they are a standard now.
Are they a standard? I have a hard time keeping track of what is different from Apollo versus the standard.
Yeah. Which is how they want it to be.
Exactly. That's exactly
and then
right.
When they released V4, I was like, well, I just won't use Apollo anymore because YOLO. They were like, when so they were talking about breaking changes, it was like,
I'm curious, what were some of the limitations you were talking about? You said like something like X, where you couldn't do that with GraphQL just because the language wouldn't allow for it. What would be an example of that?
A big one comes, there's a lot of debates around repeating ourselves. So the fact that there's no any kind of inheritance model or any kind of like even in mix-ins or nothing, there's no templates, there's no generics, there's no any model of inheritance or reuse, I think probably is a word that people would, instead of using the word inheritance, I'll say reuse. And so there's a lot of people who are very like, I don't want to have that because then I have to repeat the same fields multiple times in multiple types. And so we should do something different. The problem becomes when you do it sometimes and then you don't do it other times, then you get inconsistencies between that. That's a big one. Recently, this is less about the language itself, so I can try and think of more things about the language, but the Federation side, one of the issues we've run into is that like you can't currently, in the current version of Federation spec, you can't currently share types across different what we call DGSs, which is the individual microservices that get federated to. So if you've got like a service that deals with your artwork, your images, and then it federates those fields. And then you've got another service which gives you the type synopsis of a movie or something. Those services can't actually share type definitions. They have to duplicate the type definition in their federated schema, and they have to be the same when they get stitched together. Otherwise, an error happens. And that can be a problem. Sometimes it's not a problem because it's like, that type very rarely changes, and so not a big deal to coordinate that. But there are some types that change all the time, especially because of A/B tests. Like artwork, for example, is the one that we keep dealing with, where we change our input params for artwork like every month at least, probably more often than that. And so needing to coordinate that would be impossible. And so what ends up happening is that different DGSs, different pieces of the schema, create their own concept of an image or of like artwork. So there's like, service A image and service B image, even though they are, look almost the same, they're different implementations of images. And that bleeds into client code, especially if you're using really strict things like Relay is very opinionated. And so it becomes more difficult because then you can't reuse abstractions. Like you have to know this is a service A image and use that abstraction versus a service B image and use that abstraction, even though from the consuming side, I don't care. Like I don't care where this is. And that's where I was saying that where like federation kind of bleeds in sometimes to implementation details. To be clear, that one actually, to their credit, they're actually working on fixing. Like the federation folks are working on fixing that one. But when that will be released, I don't know.
So can you share types from server to client then, or do you have to redefine types on the client as well?
So how it works on with CodeGen, so Relay, and then also there's the community based CodeGen for like Apollo. I think they call it the guild. Yeah, that's what it is. The guild folks, they have CodeGen as well. It basically it's tooling that downloads the schema, and then based on the schema and the query that you have, generates types for you. So like in the JavaScript world, TypeScript world, it generates TypeScript types based on what you queried combined with what the schema is. And so, and then they have something called data masking, where basically a component has like a use fragment hook where it passes in a fragment that it wants to query from. And then the data is like all of those get rolled up into one query, but how do I explain this? It's so hard to explain. Only that component can access that data, even though it's all in one big blob that comes back. When you're passing it around, because of how data masking works, which basically uses TypeScript trickery to make it so that if you're in a component that didn't query for that data, you cannot access that data according to the type system. Obviously you cast it to any and then start digging into it. But the purpose of that data masking is to try and help solve the problem of, is it safe to remove this field? Like, who's actually using this, you know, because one of the things that happens with Falcor was this, is that, you know, someone adds a piece of data that needs to be fetched, and then it just gets threaded through the entire app, and it becomes really hard to tell, like, where, you know, can I remove this field? Who's using it? That sort of stuff. And
data masking, you know, sounds like a poor man's like ownership or borrowing.
Yeah. Same. Its intent is very similar. It basically, and it doesn't mean that two components could query for the same thing, but you know, have two fragments that both actually do have some overlap, and then they both have access to that same data. So data masking is cool. It's just limiting. And that's kind of the point of it, is for it to be limiting. But anyway. What Jesse and Adam, what are you all working on with graph? Are you doing any GraphQL these days?
Yes, but in the most simplistic sense, a client that I'm working on has a GraphQL server, and that's how they access their data from their clients. So,
do you know that? Like, is that an example of a case where you think that GraphQL is justified?
No, but.
When you're working on a client, you know, what do you do?
Well, and it's fairly early days for me too, so I actually don't know if there's things that I just don't know about too.
That's really good of you to say, because that's a thing that's really hard to realize sometimes, is that you're not there.
I mean, Adam's already made the recommendation to move everything over to Svelte, because like on day one you can like you can look at it and know that everything needs to be migrated to Svelte.
It just has to be Svelte.
Everything's moving to Svelte, so we might as well just get there ahead of time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Quick.
I want to federate all the things.
I don't even know how to move GraphQL to Svelte, but I'm all for it, though. I think it's a great plan.
Let's just ChatGPT that. Here's some Svelte. Give it to GraphQL and back. Do it.
That actually is a really good question. If you ask it nonsensical things, what would it like that? What would it do? Then test it. You have.
It'll say based on my prior knowledge, which is September 2021. I don't know how to do this.
I would be impressed if it said that. I'm going to guess that it actually creates nonsense.
I'll give you back some nonsensical. Here's a wiki definition of GraphQL and Svelte.
Can I like share this? Like, hold on, I'm going to present the ChatGPT.
It tells you how to migrate.
I'll just show what it says. Let's see. Give me an example Svelte component that is a number calculator.
Something. No, I'll share this one. I asked how to migrate GraphQL to Svelte, and it gave me a multi-step process, a 10-step process on how to migrate GraphQL to Svelte.
Man, you know what's funny is there's the AI sitting there with two people requesting this. Is this a thing? Like, it's trying to...
Well, I typed.
Yeah, I know that's not how it works.
I also got it's actually an 11-step, but it goes to 9 and then to 0 and then to 1.
Oh my God, me too, but it only went to 0. It went from 9 to 0. Oh, get this. They know who Jay Phelps is.
Uh-oh.
Jay Phelps is a software engineer and developer advocate known for his contributions to the JavaScript and Node.js communities.
Uh-oh. Right now, so I asked it for a svelte component, and it gave me a svelte component, and now I'm saying, okay, now convert it to GraphQL in CoffeeScript. Just to see what it does. Here's the equivalent code for svelte component as a GraphQL query in CoffeeScript. It tried. It really did.
Wow. I hate to cut this off, but do we have any parting words? But it's really cool that ChatGPT knows about Jay Phelps, and he gained prominence as one of the core contributors to the RxJS library. Did you know? He played a significant role in the development of RxJS 5.
Significant. Huge role.
But anyways, okay, last parting words. Jay Phelps.
Live long and prosper, I guess.
Okay.
Stay cool. Okay. Right now, it's so hot here in Texas. Oh my God.
Say something Texan-y. Yeah, I know. Okay, here we go.
Texan-y,
you know, like hotter than a hoochie coochie.
I'm so sorry, but while you're doing this, I'm laughing so hard. Like I converted the svelte component to GraphQL, and then I'm like, okay, now sing me an operatic rendition of this component. And it was like, as an AI-based text model, I'm unable to directly sing. But here we go. It's like, oh, behold the number calculator with inputs divine, its powers equate. Like it's so ridiculous.
Wow.
It's like multiple stanzas of this.
Would you rather have the ability to teleport anywhere in the world instantly but never be able to fly, or have the power of flight but be unable to teleport? So flying or teleportation.
Like physically flying, like I jump up in the air and I just start flying?
Yeah, fly.
I would definitely want to teleport.
Yeah.
I don't care about flying.
Okay.
I mean, I've seen enough superhero movies to know, like, we got to ask about we got to ask specifics about teleportation. Can you teleport somewhere you can't see? If you teleport inside of a rock, what happens?
Does
if you teleport
inside die? Of
another person, yeah, what right. happens? Is it old you just dying and then
flying seems safer, like Superman style flying? Because he flies at like the speed of light. So like,
does what's Ant-Man the like, fly? Does Ant-Man teleport or fly?
No, he just gets little.
He jumps.
Yeah. He falls with style.
He controls his mass, so when he jumps, he can jump really high, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jesse, you are a flyer.
I'm a flyer.
You're a fly?
I kind of like the whole Doctor Strange sling ring thingy. That'd be pretty good, like opening portals and just walking through.
I've played the game Portal. If you can open a portal, you can fly. Because you just open one down, you jump, you open a different one. Woo!
Oh, and then you're stuck flying.
Right? No, but then you got to open a portal quickly to a trampoline, boom, and then open again.
That seems like a lot more work than just flying.
Yeah.
But you also can teleport.
I think I'd want to teleport because then I can like go places faster. I can be like, mm-hmm. ooh, I want to eat some really good Italian food. Let me go to Italy.
You could be like the greatest, like, you know, Uber replacement ever. You could just be like, where do you want to go? Shh, there you go. Give me $20. Yeah. Where do you want to go? There you go.
I'm going to charge for delivery $250,000 each. Ooh.
Someone
the reason I got the $250,000 is because that's how much they paid to go down to that sub, you know?
I was going
to
say.
It's the magic number.
For the sub joke.
You want something? $250,000. All right, y'all. This was a fun episode of Build Better. Hope to see you next time. Bye. Like and subscribe.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.